Dearest brothers, I don't know about you, but I just take the greatest delight in observing anyone who is working and doing something in a dynamic way. I think that joy began when I was a little child, watching movies of Tarzan. The way that man could outrun the deer. The way that man could swing with the apes from tree to tree. And then it was John Wayne, that big man on his big horse. Watch out, bad guys, here he comes. And of course it was the astronauts taking off in their rockets to actually, literally, walk on the moon. Or maybe it's Carl Lewis doing the 100-yard dash. I think I'm an emotional man. I know that whenever I'm watching the Olympics, and whenever one of those young people gives an all-out effort and wins a victory, well, I celebrate that victory with a tear in my eyes. And I had tears several times during this retreat when I saw some of our young people from Africa, Malta, from the Philippines, and from South America, Guadalupe presentations, doing something dynamic, coming from all over the world to evangelize us. But now we have to understand that there's a very important difference between just working hard and working in a way that can be called dynamic. Working hard only produces in itself a lot of sweat, even though some people call sweat the best kind of holy water. Dynamism, as compared to just working hard, is a determination to succeed. It is a confidence built on trust in God that we will succeed. It is working with enthusiasm. It's working with joy, like that Babsy Blaisdell speaking to us yesterday. It's working with real, glorious energy, power from God Almighty. It is working in a way that has to be called beautifully creative. When somebody works dynamically, they persevere in their effort until they have succeeded. Dynamism never, never takes no for an answer. Dynamism never only makes a single effort, tries only one time. Dynamic effort never doesn't try only in one way. Now, this is an important one. Dynamism never gives in to fear or even to worry. I have to admit that we worried a few times in the preparation of this retreat. But because of that prayer that Jim talked about, we never let that worry or fear take control of the situation. Dynamism gets the job done, and it does the job very, very well. What dynamism attempts is not the easy. You don't need dynamism to attempt the easy. Dynamism attempts the important, the difficult, what many will call the impossible. And it makes its effort with enthusiasm and eventually with the thrill of success. A priest who only works in his ministry hard is probably a priest who someday will burn himself out. But a priest who works dynamically is being continually re-energized by the power of the Holy Spirit in which he depends and by the success in ministry that he is experiencing. When God the Father gave his only and beloved Son a job to do, that Son didn't just work hard. That Son of God did a dynamic job. When God the Father told him to become man, he was born not where men are born, but he was born where animals are born, in a stable. He went all the way. When God told him to die for us, he didn't die comfortably with many kind nurses attending him in a hospital bed. He died for us dynamically on a cross. When the Father told him to nourish us, he didn't go into a kitchen to cook us a banquet. He became for us bread of life on an altar. So absolutely no one can accuse Jesus Christ of doing his job half-heartedly. What does he say about it? He says, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and how I want it to be kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I yearn for it to be accomplished. Hear his dynamism in these words. He says, let us go to the next town, that I might preach there also, like that Father Cantalamessa, the way he travels around the world preaching. For that is why I have come, says Jesus. And then the scripture says, and he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues. How about this scripture? In the temple, he came upon people selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and money changers seated at their tables, making a whip. Look at the creativity. He wasn't walking around with one. But when he needed one, he sat down and made one. Making a whip of cords, he drove them out, saying, stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. And then scripture says, the disciples recalled the words of scripture, zeal for your house consumes me. Jesus Christ was given a job by the Father, and Jesus did that job in only one way. He did it all the way. He did it dynamically. Now, beloved brothers, and I'm up here just filled with love for you. That's why we're having this retreat, because of the way we love you. Jesus has given us a job. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ, Son of God, has given you his job. And he himself makes it very clear, inescapably clear, that he wants us and he expects us to do that job of his now given to us and do it dynamically. Again, listen to Scripture. No one puts his hands to the plow and looks back can be considered fit for the kingdom of God. Go out quickly. You saw this so gloriously presented by the young people of Malta. Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the cities. Bring in the poor and the maimed, the blind. Go out to the highways and to the byways and compel the people to come in so that my house might be filled. Now, what kind of a calling is that? Do you go out to that this way? You go out dynamically. Our Lord in Scripture certainly doesn't say that he is very pleased, for example, with that hesitant, nervous, fearful, worried about himself servant who takes his talent and buries it in a hole. Cast that worthless servant into outer darkness. He's not very happy with a barren fig tree. Cast it down. Why should it use up good ground? Or with any disciple that can be called lukewarm, as explained in Revelation. Because you are neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, this is clear. We are given a mission by God. It is the mission of God the Son. Today it is our mission, and we cannot do it with half an effort. We must do it with every bit of strength that is in our being. Now, I want to give you a very clear and a very safe norm about how dynamically a person is obliged to work. Here's the norm. A person must work dynamically in proportion to the job, to the importance of the job that has been given to him. And now I say it, and it is an absolute. There is no exception to what I say. No one. There is not a human being on this planet that has been given a job or a mission in his lifetime that is more important than the task of a priest of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no one on this earth who can be working more dynamically than every single one of you. Listen to how the Old Testament brings out the importance of your job. Your job is to be a good shepherd according to the model of Christ. So your job is to lead God's people to the green pastures, to the restful waters, to guide God's people from the dark valleys to the path of righteousness. To protect them from the evil, from the wolves, and fill them with courage. To nourish God's people at a banquet. To anoint their heads with oil and refresh their souls. until finally they can cry out in absolute delight, "Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. I want for nothing." Or the way Jesus himself expresses the importance of the task. His task given to us. To bring the good news to the poor. To bring liberty to the captives. The way this saint of God, Don Haldo Camara, has dedicated his life to do. That little man so dynamic in his simplicity, his faith and love. To bring sight to the blind. To bring a year of favor from the Lord. Or listen to how St. Peter says it. To be generous distributors of God's manifold graces. Come on, fellas. Nobody else on earth has a job like that, and you were given that job by God himself. The mission, your mission, is called, its name is the work of salvation. There's your job. The Father sent Christ to save the world. Christ sends you as instruments of his salvation. Listen to how John the Baptist summarizes it. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. And now, through you as his instruments. Now, that's why the Father sent his Son, who then says, "As the Father has sent me, so now," and this is the day of the retreat we are living now, "so now I send you." I send you. Your options are lost. You can't stand still. You can't move half-heartedly. You are sent the way God sent his Son. And therefore, with a mission like that, there is not a man in this hall who can bury his talent, whether it's 1 or 5 or 10. You must be working, going from here, working more dynamically than anyone else that can be found on this earth. You must work with the dynamism of a believer, of an apostle, of a martyr. Your life is not what is important. The life of Christ that you have to give to others, that's what's important. You must work with the dynamism, the optimism of a winner, of a conqueror, of a prophet of God, of a true saint of God, like that saint that we had with us, Mother Teresa. You, every one of you, must work with the dynamism of a priest of Jesus Christ. You must work with the kind of dynamism that Paul calls us. Christ we proclaim. You have no other message. That's what Archbishop Lopez Rodriguez was saying in the first day of the retreat. You have no other message. Christ we must proclaim. "For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires in me." Capture the dynamism of the language of the gospel. Capture the dynamism of our call. Paul says about himself, I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle. We are all unfit to be called priests, bishops, cardinals of Jesus Christ. We know it. If no one else on earth knows it, we know it. Paul knew it of himself. I am unfit to be called an apostle, but how? Where does the dynamism come from? By the grace of God, I work harder than all the others, than Peter, James, John, Philip, and all the others, until I'm dead for Christ. Like Christ, St. Paul tells us not just to work hard, but to work dynamically. Whatever you do, words of Paul, Colossians, work at it with your whole being. So clear. Do it for the Lord, Paul said. Be slaves of Christ the Lord. There's only one way for us to commit ourselves, and that is totally. Or in 1 Corinthians, while all the runners in this stadium take part in the race, the award goes to one man. In that case, run to win. Take those words home. Run to win. When some hear the words, eternal rest, grant unto them, O Lord. They hear those words, eternal rest, and they can't wait till they're dead to start resting. We're not here now for resting. There was a good Anglican bishop, and after he died, they found a little poem that he left on his desk. I'll read you his poem. Tell my clergy when I am gone for me to shed no tears, for I shall be no deader than they have been for years. How? You know, it's so unfair to say do it and not say how to do it. How does a priest maintain a dynamic ministry? The greatest need in the world, that service from you. The service of a dynamic priestly ministry. How did Bridge McKenna tell you that? How did she thrill you with the way she told you that? How did Mother Teresa tell you that, what priesthood means for her? How her sisters can go nowhere on earth if a priest is not with them? How did Gloria Babsy tell you, these three women of God, begging you to be the priest that they need? And in the name of Jesus himself, I now beg you, all 4,000 or 5,000 of you, to be the priest of God that the world needs you to be. Now, how do you do it? We can answer first by looking at God's words to Jeremiah. He wanted something dynamic of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, what, are you kidding? How am I going to do that? Oh, Lord God, I said, I know not how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord answered me. Say not, I am too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, that means fear, never stops you from proclaiming the truth. I beg the bishops and cardinals here. I beg every pastor of God that is here to have the courage of Jesus Christ and to say it because it is true, no matter what the press will say about you. Defend the unborn with your own lives. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Have no fear, because I am with you to deliver you. There's your dynamism. Not one of you is alone in ministry. God walks with you. God speaks to you. Then the Lord extended his hand and touched my mouth, saying, see, I place my words in your mouth. A priest once said to me, who am I to tell them that what they do is a sin? And I said to him, you are no one. You don't tell them what you have to say about sin. You tell them what God has to say about sin. You tell them about the path of righteousness that Christ has revealed to us. I place my words in your mouth. This day I set you over nations and kingdoms to root up and tear down, to build and to plant. And you had Pepe Prado speaking to you about how to fish and also how to plant and how to make it grow with faith in Christ. We could call this story of Jeremiah the story of an Old Testament Pentecost, because that's exactly what Christ promises to us through the Spirit that he sends us. God gave Jeremiah two things. He gave Jeremiah a message, a mission, and all the power of God that he needed for the fulfillment of that mission. Before their Pentecost, the apostles were united in a room, united by their fear. After their Pentecost, they were united in courage and in the determination to die rather than fail Christ in the mission he had given them. So from that moment on, the apostles moved dynamically. Peter was right down the street to convert 3,000. James took off for Spain. Thomas was to Persia and then to India. Philip seemed to fly through the air. He just went wherever the Holy Spirit took him up and landed him. He was the first Boeing 747, I think. Paul, a few years later, just went to the absolute ends of the known earth. And with only the exception of John, every single one of those priests of Christ went to their death for the love of Jesus. The 11 went forth, preaching everywhere. Just keep capturing the dynamism of the language of the gospel. While the Lord worked with them, confirming their message by the signs that accompany them. Now, you see other people that are dynamic in the world. You have your Donald Trumps and whatever. They work, they say, 18 hours a day, these people. Dynamically they work. And skyscrapers come up, they take over governments, they do incredible things. What motivates them? Where does their dynamism come from? It comes from their desire to make money. It comes from an ambition for power and glory. It comes from a human need that has to be satisfied or a desire that has to be answered. Our dynamism comes from only one place, from the three most important gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The supernatural, the beyond human power, the foredoing the impossible gifts of faith, hope, and charity. Power, the foredoing the impossible gifts of faith, hope, and charity. What does our faith give us in our dynamism? It gives us our purpose, and it gives us our conviction. So sad are the people of God's church today with Sunday sermons in many parishes. The priest is up there speaking, and in what he proclaims, which is the greatest message man has ever carried, they hear no conviction. And Jesus said, and. Faith teaches us that Jesus Christ is pearl of great price. Remember Cardinal Tomko blowing the roof off this place at the Mass of the first day saying that. It is the only name that saves. No other. The name of Buddha does not save. The name of Mohammed does not save. There is one name that saves. Let us run with perseverance. See how the dynamism now flows out of the faith. Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 12:1. Let us run. Again, hear it. Run. No. Let us run with perseverance. The race set before us. Did you realize you're in a race? Do you realize God has put you in a race? Start running. Let us run with perseverance the race. You can't quit. There's no option for you quitting. Some dear brothers have quit. God loved them, helped them, blessed them, saved them. You are not free to quit, not when you're sent by God. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us. How? Here's where the faith is. Looking to Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. That's eyes on Christ. How did Bridge tell you to keep your eyes on Christ? How did Mother Teresa tell you to keep your eyes on Christ? How did they tell you, let Mary set you looking upon her son, Jesus Christ? Who endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God? He did it dynamically. He despised the shame. Now he is sitting in the eternal glory of his success. What difference does it make if we work 65, 75, 85, 95 hard years here on earth? What difference? If it brings us to the success of eternal glory, not just for ourselves, but for all whom we can bring with us. Consider Christ, who endured hostility. Consider him, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. What will you keep you from being weary? Looking at Christ. Faith. Faith is the source of your dynamism. So I paraphrase that and say, believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus, so that your effort stays dynamic. What does your hope give you? It gives you your confidence and your courage. I love Cardinal O'Connor of New York. Everybody doesn't. I love and admire Cardinal O'Connor of New York. The newspaper reporter said to him, and they crucify him. And many of these good bishops here have been crucified and will be crucified by the press, who think it's their task and that they have the message for the evangelization of the world. So they crucify those who truly have the message. And this reporter says, well, you know, Cardinal, that not everyone would agree with what you are saying. And the Cardinal says, yes, but my mission is not to say what people will agree with. My mission is to say what is true. Did you ever see one of these movies? There's tricks in movies. There's a little ant, you see? But then with the cameras and everything, these fellas over here that came from Dallas to serve us in the ministry of television, and you're going to be televised live at the Eucharist this afternoon, they take that little ant and shrink the background behind it. And as they do that, the ant gets big. Until all of a sudden, because the background is so tiny, this ant becomes a monster. We do the opposite. We use as our background in our ministry the greatness of Jesus Christ, the wonder of all his promises. Somebody wrote a little book just putting in it the promises Christ has given us. And the uncontrollable, unconquerable power of the Holy Spirit. That's our background in our hope. And all of a sudden, our own little problems and pains are what shrink and become the size of tiny ants. Through our hope, we are promised a hundredfold here. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we are promised eternal life hereafter. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And if I do my job as a priest of Christ, thousands of others, maybe millions, we have estimated that the priest in this room, pastor, a minimum of 5 million human beings. You, pastor, 5 million. Hey, I'm going to say it again. Hey, fellas, let's bring them all to paradise. Let's bring them all to heaven. Through hope, we're guaranteed success. I have said this to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Bishops, you're going to get the worst of it. You got the biggest hats, and you got the biggest problems. In the world, you will have tribulations, but I have overcome the world. We have already won. Know that I am with you always till the end of time. We are dynamized by our charity. Father Cantalamessa spoke better than I can about this. Our motivation and our supernatural zeal, humanly impossible effort, comes from the way we love the people of God and the way we love Jesus and want to show him how much we love him. Without charity, Father Cantalamessa said, we're not even Christian. We're just noisy gongs, clanging cymbals. Motivated by the love of Jesus, we are free to die to ourselves. Have that freedom. Beg that freedom of God. The next time anybody prays for you or over you, before you pray for health, money, whatever, pray for a freedom to die to yourself, so that we can be servants of everyone else. Listen again, dynamism. Paul says it. The love of Christ impels me. They're the motors in our rocket ship. The love of Christ thrusts me forward. So, this time in history, this historical moment in which we live, anticipating the 2000th birthday of the only Savior of the world, is not a time for lazily lamenting the lack of fish or the lack of fishermen. This is a special, a Kairos moment, a moment to which God has given the power. Don't worry about the power. Move with the Holy Spirit. This is a God-planned moment in history. God the Father loves Jesus, his Son, and God the Father wants the whole world celebrating his 2000th birthday, and it's our job to get the birthday party ready. This is a special moment for answering the call of Christ. They're answering the call of his vicar, who this afternoon, himself personally, will be calling you to a new evangelization and will be sending you forth. That's what the Pope will do this afternoon. This is a God-given moment for casting your nets into the deep, as again Pepe Prado said in such a unique way. We are chosen instruments of divine salvation. We are the most blessed and privileged men on earth. We have a job to do that can be done properly only by God himself. But God has chosen us. It is God, the sovereign King of glory, who sends us. So he must also empower us with the spiritual dynamism, with the supernatural gifts of faith, hope, and charity. Just one thing, hope. Look around, fellas. You don't mind my calling you fellas. Look around. Can you be here? Can you be here with these brothers of the Sudan, with these brothers of Ethiopia, with these brothers of Iraq and Iran and China and Lebanon? Can you be here with these brothers of Christ and not feel good about the Catholic priesthood? We have the good news, and that good news must reach all the nations. St. Pope Paul II, and this is a summary again of this retreat, is telling us that we need the dynamism of a new fervor, an all-out effort. Maybe we could say your priesthood is just beginning. I think I can repeat this. One of the brothers walked up to Babsy after her talk yesterday and said, "Dear sister, my priesthood began when you gave that talk today." Maybe, even if I'm 30, 40, 50 years a priest, maybe the very best and most important part of my priesthood is beginning today as the Holy Father sends me out. For an all-out effort, going with a burning zeal and determination, a willingness on our parts and on the part of all Catholics whom we pastor to stand up and be identified before the eyes of the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. The Pope is telling us that we have to have the dynamism of new expression. How do you like the way Malta read us the parable of the king inviting to the wedding feast? How did you like the way they read us? That's what they did. But they gave it a new expression. We have to have a dynamism of a living faith that can be seen in us. Our people must see our faith and can be identified as trust in Christ in the way we work our ministry. We have to have a dynamism in our preaching, as Father Cantalamessa said, that offers sharp, clear, not fuzzy answers to the questions anguishing the heart of the people, giving a clear wisdom that leads the people to make sharp decisions for Christ that give direction to their lives. We need a dynamism of a gift of teaching about God's words and actions, the way wonderful Father Daniel Arns told us to do. God's words and actions in becoming man, in a way that makes an impact. How did Father Arns' words make an impact on you? And communicates a wisdom that is relevant to all the realities of human life. We need a dynamism of new methods. I love this word now. I always sort of lick a word that's coming that I really like. We need the dynamism of Catholic creativity. In a way, I could say the most creative people that we saw here in this retreat were the young lay people. Those incredibly young people from Africa. What did they do? They didn't say, we'll do it in a routine way. Cardinal Tomko told you, don't go back to working in a routine way. They sat down. They prayed. They met. They dialogued until they found a creative new method for evangelizing you. You know what we told those people before they came? We said, don't come to give a show. Come to evangelize these priests. You heard that young boy speak to you from Africa and just tell you. He just gave you words that were for evangelizing you. So don't always do the same thing in the same way. And this was such a strong message with Pepe and everyone else yesterday. The brothers and sisters from the Philippines, Babsy, everyone. Don't do it all yourself. God never intended for you to do the whole job. You are the leaders of the people of God. You are the callers of the giant of the laity, Christi Fidelis Laici, to the task that is theirs, not just yours, by divine will. We need the dynamism, sitting down to pray, facing obstacles and problems, and finding creatively better ways to do the job. You are failing Christ if next week and the week after and the week after, nothing ever changes in your ministry. Architects spend who knows how many hours planning a house that turns to dust. You are builders of the temple of God. You are builders of an eternal house. Put your brains to the task. You are brilliant men of God. Work with your heads. Turn off the TV and sit down and think. It says here on the paper, conclusion, thank God. whenever the church is passive or half-hearted in its efforts, it can be compared to the dry bones of Ezekiel. What it needs is, read Ezekiel to see this text, Ezekiel 37. What it needs is a prophet's call and the prayers of saints to bring it back to vigorous life. Pope John Paul II has given the prophetic call, and we can and must be its echo. Don't just decide what you want to do. Listen to the Vicar of Christ and echo his call. And the people, the saints of God, are praying. There's a little nun here from Lesotho. That's her job now. That's all she has as a job, to get all of Africa praying for the new evangelization. They are praying for a new vigor in the Catholic Church, a new vitality, a new enthusiasm, a new joy, a new determination, a new sanctity, a new dynamism, a new evangelization. We can be God's answer to these prayers of the people of God. We can be generous, enthusiastic priests, dynamic leaders of the people of God, teaching them how to fulfill their God-given task of bringing the good news of salvation to the very ends of the earth. Because priests in the world today are older and fewer, we must work harder. We must be, each one of us, more dynamic than ever before. And with love now, with love, I say it, you are the men of God. You are the men of dynamism. You are the men sent. You are the men who can do the job. And I know, God knows, Mary knows, you will do the job. Amen. Praise God.